We've got to number one. We have.
Yep.
Beauty. Morning. Welcome. Hi to everybody. I've got a script today. Sometimes I deviate. Lots of chat, lots of smiles. What a way to begin a service. So much energy. We could use it to power a church. Sorry. We all know there are many reasons why we're here today. And there is one reason that is the top of our list. Welcome to David. Sometimes Reverend David. Sometimes DJP. And there are other people here who we need to welcome. They know David by other names. Husband, dad.
Hey, you.
Yeah, granddad, the old fella. Welcome to Ellie, to Isaac, to Abigail, Isabel, Micah, Amelia, and their son Benjamin, and others too who are here today, especially David. Our prayer is that love and care can be a special part of us today, for our God, for DJP, and for each other. And I made it without hardly any deviations from my script. Beauty.
So let's just welcome David and his family. Now, I don't know how standing and singing is going to work in this configuration, and I know some people are not able to stand, but be mindful of who's around you so that they've still got a view of the screen. Let's stand and sing together. One, two, three, four.
Thank you.
Father, we praise you and thank you for the gift of Jesus, for the gift of life, the gift of hope, and the freedom we have to meet here this morning and to praise you and sing songs of praise to you. For this opportunity, Lord, we give you thanks. For your goodness, for your love, for your grace, your mercy, and your forgiveness. Thank you for your presence in our lives. And for all these things, Lord, we give you thanks. Sing like never before. Oh, my soul.
We worship
your holy name. Yes, we will worship your holy name. Now, Jesus appeared to the disciples a number of times after the resurrection, and two of those times they were in the enclosed upper room, and he came in and he said, anybody remember? Come on, help me out. What did he say? Peace be with you.
G'day.
Please, before you take your seats, exchange a greeting of peace or a hello with one another. Peace be with you.
And good morning. I have to say, Rob's usually the one for jokes, but I've never played to a full house before. This morning's reading is from Romans chapter 5, verses 1 to 11. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for the righteous person, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if, while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through this life? Not only is this so, but we also boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. And this is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. And now we have the wonderful David Pryor, followed by Isaac.
Well, good to see you. It's really lovely to see you all. Huh? Probably not going to get through a bundle. I wouldn't be here today without my family and your prayers, so thank you. These guys should be awarded a medal. They have visited me every day. Rain, shine, snoring, intubation, whatever. They were my advocates when I couldn't talk, walk or breathe, when I couldn't tell dreams from nightmares, they were still there. God, I had some amazing nightmares. And never let anybody tell you that the dreams when you die are good. They're bloody terrible. But anyway, so 1 year ago, this is a photo that I took on Easter Saturday. I look pretty good, don't I? It's one of my favourite photos. And within 10 days, I ended up on my back, not being able to use anything. And so it's just staggering that within such a short time, it was so overwhelming. And the neurologist said I'd never use my arms, legs, or breathe on my own again. And this is before, you know, so that was a great preparation for me. It's just like, wow. The next slide. As you can see, I'm in a pretty bad state. Life was very tenuous. Ellie would tell me my blood pressure went up to 260 and then down to 60 within that same section. So I'm really fortunate to still be alive, actually. The next slide really picks up. You know, Ellie's got her hands on my eyes because they used to have to tape my eyes shut because not even my eyelids worked. So I was just, you know, the whole time is insane. But these guys were really wonderful and supportive. The next slide really is, we used to have a family chat. And so someone would come in and take a picture and give an update to the rest of the family. And here the question is, well, what do you notice? And believe it or not, that's a cheeky grin. That's a definition of a cheeky grin at that stage in my life. One of the things that took a long time, like I just couldn't move anything. And so I was reliant upon everybody to do everything. And eventually, one of the big carrots was getting outside. So this is one of my first trips outside. And I was just a wonderful little Benny boy. And he's been a source of competition for me throughout. Which one of us is going to walk first, eat on our own, and not have nappies? And I think I've just won that one. next slide. A little monster there with the family. It's been wonderful. 20th of August, so you can see it took a long time. I was still pretty wiped out. Next slide. The definition of success was standing upright, and that was the first time I did it. They had to strap me in. And just insane, all the things you take for granted. As you know, different levels, different ways. Next slide. And one of the other things I kept telling family is I wanted a slushie. And when you can't speak and everybody's guessing what it is you're saying, I came up with some creative things. You want a crusher? What do you want? Have you concrete? You want? And believe it or not, that's not ice cream. That's my main meal. Puree. Actually, it tastes damn good. Someone asked me what Lyle Mack Gospel of Food was like, and I said, sensational. And they couldn't believe I would use that word. Slushies were too sweet, however. That was shocking. Next slide. What do you notice about this picture? 6th to the 17th, apart from a bad hairdo and different glasses, I finally got my trachea. That was a major, major thing. It was the hardest damn thing. I'd spent 2 minutes breathing on my own. It was so hard. And they said, well, you've got to get to 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And it almost crushed me. But it's amazing what you can do, persist. And so that was nice to be able to do. Next slide. Eventually, we got out of Lower Mac after 5 months. And they wheeled me across to Modbury Rehab, which again was a great opportunity to do some different stuff. Next slide. Again, little man down here has been a great source of inspiration, and we did compare notes. And that is right, Mike. He's doing a good job. Next slide. This is my 60th birthday. We managed to hold that out in the park. I actually had different plans where I would have invited you all to do something different for my 60th, but unfortunately that didn't happen. I think one of the things I said there was that patience is a spiritual discipline. Like it's, you know, it's life's so hard. Sometimes you just long for it to be different, but without patience, it just becomes a sense of frustration and anger. So patience, something I've really embraced. Next slide. You notice there's a quilt in the back corner, girls. I did use it when I was given it. So craft group gave me a nice quilt I still use today. I'm feeding myself. And that's in October. Next slide. It was good for my occupational therapy. Who could get the chip in the mouth first? But next slide. And so that 15th of December. So it was a long, long year, 8 months. And but, you know, when they said I'd never walk or do anything again, that was pretty impressive to get out of there. And so the last slide is really the back home for Christmas, which was, yeah, a wonderful thing. And today it's just really great to be able to come along and say goodbye to you all in person. I've often thought of you, and your prayers and love have kept me going. And unfortunately, I won't be able to speak too much because my breathing is really restricted, and so I have a very small hole to breathe through. My hands and my legs, I've still got a big brace on under the pants so they keep my leg moving. Still got numbness in my hands and feet and calves. However, I'm very hopeful that I'll keep kicking along to see that young squirt become 25, 30, 35, whatever. But again, thanks, Els, family. Thank you for all your prayers. And Isaac's just going to give us a few words of reflection. Thanks, buddy.
Yes, well, thank you very much for having us this morning. I wanted to reflect a little on our year from last year and the experience of the Prior family. And the passage of Paul touches on it really well. It was a year of suffering. And a lot of you here, all of us really have been through suffering, whether it's sickness, whether in relationships. You look around the world and suffering is everywhere. There's war, famine, poverty. Suffering is part of life. Even so, that if you look at what the words of Jesus, he says in Matthew 16, verse 24, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross. Even in our faith, it is a life of self-sacrifice and suffering. And so the question I've been wrestling with a little while now, as I've been seeing Dad go through all his ordeal, as a family we've been trying to be there for each other, where do we turn? What do we do? If suffering in this life is inevitable, what is our response? And last year I found myself really drawn towards people who embraced suffering. If suffering is an inevitable part of life, then take it head on. Don't try to avoid it. Dad certainly couldn't. And so I found myself drawn to people who embraced it. And one person in particular I found embraced suffering to the nth degree. And funnily enough, his name is also David. And this guy's name is David Goggins, so it's not David Pryor. Both are a little bit similar. We'll chuck up a photo of him just up here. This is David Goggins. Now, you can obviously see the similarities between the two Davids. The muscles, the stern look on the face. A lot of similarities, some differences. But David Goggins, you could call the hardest man on earth. In his book, which is titled Can't Hurt Me, David talks about his life experience, about how he had a really abusive father and the town he grew up in was racist and he suffered a great deal. And he got to a point in life where he was older and said he sort of felt like a victim. He had a dead-end job, his marriage was breaking down, he was 300 pounds, and something snapped within him. And he shifted his focus and began to embrace a life of suffering and a life of hard work, a life of going and getting after it, so he'd say. And his book and his life story is incredible. He goes on from there to lose a whole heap of weight in a really short time so he can enroll in the Navy. And he goes on from there and becomes a Navy SEAL, which he has to do Hell Week 3 times over. Now, if you don't know what Hell Week is, Hell Week is 140 hours, very minimal sleep, where they pretty much just torture you to try to see who can cut it. And due to injuries and other things, he had to do it 3 times. From there, after that, he went on and began ultra running. Ultra running is where people run for a very long time. He does 100-mile races most weekends. Who here has ever run 100 miles? No one? We can work up to it. Tomorrow, maybe, we can go out and see if we can get it done. In fact, people then said, oh, he's only a runner, he's too weak. So he ended up going out and he broke the 24-hour world record for most amount of pull-ups in that amount of time. He's a freak. You would be hard-pressed to find anyone tougher and harder than Goggins. And what I really loved about hearing David Goggins' story and his approach to how we deal with suffering is it sort of brought power back into your own hands. No longer were you a victim, but you could do something about it. And both Goggins and Paul agree on this. They say suffering produces perseverance. And when you persevere, it builds your character. And so I embraced suffering in my life. I woke up really early to go for long runs and then longer runs and then longer runs even still. I had cold showers. Who here likes having a cold shower?
Oh, yeah.
Oh my goodness. Talk about embracing suffering. Oh my goodness. I exercised when I didn't feel like it. I ate the foods that you have to eat to be fit and healthy. I even did the dishes when I didn't want to. If that's not suffering, I don't know what is. But for a time, I felt really empowered. In a year where there was so much suffering and things out of my control, by embracing suffering in my own life, I felt like suffering wouldn't have the last say, that I could somehow find some skill and find some character to overcome it with hard work. I was no longer scared of enduring suffering. I welcomed it. In fact, I was so encouraged by David Goggins and his book that I ended up bringing it in to Dad in hospital and read it out to him. And when I left it there, when I put it on the side of the bed, and so whenever Dad would look across to his bedside table, he'd just see this face looking at him. Get moving, David, he would say. But then I ran into a problem. I was tired, believe it or not. Doing all these things is exhausting. And here's the trouble with Goggins' method of embracing suffering. Is his mindset is that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance produces character. And what do you do once you've built your character? What do you do once you've run a 100-mile race? Well, you go out and you do another one. And then you go out and you run another one, and you go back to embrace more suffering. So I got tired. I started sleeping in a little bit. I missed a few workouts. I tried to make up for it, but man, I just couldn't keep up. I ended up even having to quit one of my jobs because, man, life was exhausting at this point. And I started to feel like suffering was winning, like it was overcoming, like suffering was this relentless thing that just could not be beat. And so I began asking when all this suffering would end. Maybe there is another way. And then David Goggins released a second book. And here I hoped maybe the answer was, here is someone who's endured so much suffering and has come out to prove so much. I hoped maybe the title of his book was It Gets Easier, or Suffer 50 Times and Then You're Done. But you know what his book was called? Never Finished. Never Finished. Any hope I had of this suffering being done? No, David says, you finished that race, go do another one. It was a good read, but soul-crushing at the same time. And I think this is as far as David Goggins can take us. There's a lot in that. There's a lot in the hard work, dedication, pushing yourself, pushing past your limits. That's all great. But in terms of coping and understanding our suffering, David just has us on a constant loop. And when you look at his life, it is a life of suffering. And no matter how hard I tried, I just couldn't keep it up. So once again, I found myself asking the question, where do we turn? What do we do? If suffering in life is inevitable, what is our response? And luckily for us, Paul has a different view. Hope. Paul and Goggins both agree suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character. Goggins says, go out there afterwards and suffer some more. But Paul says, hope. Hope. Embrace hope. Paul says, this hope does not disappoint us because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. This hope isn't something that you can earn. This hope isn't something that you have to go run 100 miles and then another 100 miles and then another 100 miles for all eternity. This is a hope that is freely given. There is nothing you can do that can take it away. Nothing you can do to earn it. And it does not disappoint because it's given by God's love. We know our hope is in Jesus and not our own strength. Jesus has overcome suffering. Suffering is not the end. In the hospital, there was a lot of suffering and some really deep lows when the neurologist said the outlook for Dad, or really the whole process. It was pretty devastating time and time again, but I sort of had this image in my mind of what I was feeling, and it felt like I was one of the disciples on the boat. As the winds and the waves are crashing overboard, it was utter chaos. Here are some seasoned fishermen who are scared to death that this might be the end for them. But they have Jesus on the boat with them. And that was the feeling I had. That was the hope that I learned to embrace, was the truth that Jesus is with us in our suffering. That suffering is not the end, that there is hope and life and grace. And I can't imagine what it would have been like to not have Jesus with me and with our family on that boat. I can't imagine trying to David Goggins our way through it, of just pushing through in our own strength. There were so many times when it was just let go and let God handle the rest. And that's what I wanted to invite us to remember, to consider, to do this morning, is not only suffering an inevitable part of life, but by embracing hope, we find new life. And we are so grateful for all that God has done during this time being with us, and for all of your prayers, your support, your love. As we look to the future, it really is a time of embracing hope that Jesus is who he says he is, and experiencing his love and his grace in the toughest time of my life and all of our lives has just been so wonderful. Jesus is there amongst it. And so I'm not sure what right now you're going through or people you know are going through, but embrace hope. embrace hope. Hey, shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we are so grateful to be here this morning in your presence. We are thankful, Lord, that although suffering seems to be everywhere in our world, you are there. You are with us. That suffering does not get the final say, God, but you do. That in the midst of the storm, the chaos, the hurt, the sadness, the anguish, our hope is knowing the truth that you are there with us. You are working all things together for your good. That death does not have the final say, but you have conquered it all. And that we have new life in you. Father, I pray for anyone here this morning who might be experiencing suffering or know people close to them who are. God, would this be a time not of putting it all on their shoulders and trying to storm on through, but would this be a time of embracing the hope and the grace that is found in you? Thank you, God, for our time together and for the meal to be shared and the time to be spent talking and sharing life together. In Jesus' name, amen.
As you will know, some of you will know, Marge and I had the privilege across the last 12 months of dropping in on David every now and then in the Lyell Mac and in Modbury. One of the things that stood out for me during those times and visits, we saw Ellie there a few times visiting with David and Isaac and also Izzy. And what strikes me this morning particularly, although I probably realised at the time, is that here's a family immersed in love, the love of Christ. And just the tenderness and the grace and the love and the compassion that Ellie and Izzy and Isaac, I observed in you, loving this man and ministering to him, ministering to the broken Jesus. And it's just an incredible credit to all of you. Thank you. David asked if we could sing, "O Lord my God, how great thou art." Feel free to stand or sit. We're going to let the congregation drive this morning. I'm not sure how that's going to work, but we'll see.
Oh Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the works thy hand hath made, I see the stars, your mighty thunder, thy power throughout the universe display.
Come on, sing it!
How great thou art! How great thou art! Christ shall come with shout of acclamation and take me home. Joy shall fill my heart. Then shall I come in humble adoration and there proclaim my God now break down. Then sings my soul.
Good morning, all. God is indeed great. Father, we thank you for the blessings of this day and ask that you will be with us now as we bring our prayers of intercession before you. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to say our farewell to our minister, Reverend David Pryor, DJP. We thank him for his ministry, for all the good times and the uncertain times. And yes, definitely for Dave's dodgy drawings, and I can't even say it. What a year and more it has been. David, our heartfelt prayers remain with you, Ellie, and all your family for the road ahead. We may not know what the future will bring, but we can be assured that God does. He has his own plan for you. As we say farewell, we surround you and your family with our love and prayers. We do know that not one day of our lives is less important to God than another. No one person is more or less loved. God hears every voice and prayer. He is in control when we feel weak and troubled. For all those who might be feeling overwhelmed or challenged at this time by recent violent events, and for those who live in the midst of war and oppression on a daily basis, who suffer illnesses, physical or mental, or mourn the loss of loved ones, we ask that you give them strength, resilience, and courage where it is most needed. Father, we bring before you those closest to our hearts at this time. We ask also that you help us to be more generous with our own time in reaching out to those who are most vulnerable so that we may offer them our comfort and support. In this week of Anzac, we take a moment to remember all those who made the ultimate sacrifice in all theatres of war, and for all those who still bear the physical and mental scars and disabilities of their service. May we, who have inherited the freedom for which they fought, make sure that their sacrifice is not in vain, lest we forget. We pray for all leaders and politicians, both here and around the world, that they might know unselfishness and learn respect for each other in these constantly changing and uncertain times. And Lord, as we begin the process of searching for our new long-term minister, we give our grateful thanks to Marge Dredge, Wendy Fittock, and David McAvena, who have been appointed as our joint nominating committee for this very important task. We ask your blessing and encouragement on their efforts. Father, we hold all these intercessions up to you and ask that you bring peace of mind and optimism to us all in our ever-changing circumstances. We pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Please join me in saying the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, forever and ever. Amen.
Please remain seated while we sing. Father, we praise you and thank you that you are a giving God, that you've given to us in abundance. Though our lives face challenges, Lord, you remain the giver. And so we bring these offerings to you at this time, and the offering of ourselves to serve you in this place and beyond these walls and wherever you take us. Whatever you call us to, may we be and remain your faithful servants. Amen.
Good morning, all. We come now to the formal part of releasing David to fully concentrate on getting better and to revive that spirit within you that has been so crushed. And so we share, and I hope I can get through this, so you all better pray that I don't break down halfway through. But I thought to start, I would actually just tell you something I heard on Australia All Over this morning, and some of you probably heard it also, of the Uniting Church minister in Melbourne, who is 108 and a half, and on the 2nd of June actually celebrates 80 years of since ordination, and he is still leading services in the retirement village where he lives. So there's hope for all of us yet. Just a review and a reflection. On the 17th of February 2019, the Vines Church welcomed Reverend David Pryor, subsequently referred to irreverently as DJP, but sometimes as Reverend DJP, depending how we were all feeling, to be our minister. It was a special time as we looked forward to David's ministry, guiding us into a new season of outreach in this community. Very quickly, David settled in and began his journey of connecting with new people. He soon was one of us, and plans for moving forward were being developed. Who was to even imagine that just a short time later, we would be tipped upside down by the chaos of bushfires and COVID-19? Almost everything changed in an instant, and the leaders of the church had to rethink what ministry would look like in these challenging circumstances. And we could not have imagined that those uncertainties would last for 2 years. David led us through that time with encouragement and enthusiasm as various new ways to connect with the community evolved. We stayed strong, and we came through maybe better than we had at first thought we might. We had new initiatives and there was enthusiasm for what was to come. But suddenly our world was tipped upside down again just a little over 12 months ago, and we've heard the story of David's journey. We received the devastating news that David, had been struck down by the vicious Guillain-Barré. I hope I got it right, David. Syndrome. David, for every one of us, that news was heartbreaking. I can see the few of us who were in this building as the phone call came through, and we were just stunned. But it was much more so for you and your family. Since that time, we have prayed fervently that you would get well. In fact, be well enough to continue to guide us into the coming season as our minister. But that wasn't to be. And sadly, we now need to release you, to allow you to concentrate fully on regaining your health and getting strong again, and maybe going to 108 and a half. Everyone here today is feeling the weight of that sadness. For you, David and Ellie, and your lovely family, including that gorgeous little boy, well, the littlest one, it will be a new season. Doors are closed, and it may feel a bit like winter, which is fast approaching. But we know that spring follows winter. That is the hope always. New buds and new possibilities. And we will continue to pray for you as you gradually heal and begin to discern what ministry God has planned for you. We believe that God still has work for you to do. And I must say, as David mentioned before, it was a real privilege to share the journey with David and the family on the occasions that we managed to get across to the hospitals and to see the progress and to be able to share that with the congregation. We came back each time and told them exactly where you were going on that journey. But for me, it was a huge privilege. Now, I'm sure we will all long remember Dave's dodgy drawings. No one can do them like Dave, which spoke, I must say, to many more than just our precious children. We all love them. We will miss you making pancakes at the market and sizzling sausages, but most of all, we will miss your smile, which is returning, your warmth and your sense of humour, and the love which you showed to all of us. I have asked some others to suggest what they most valued about you, and these are the replies which I received. Down-to-earth preaching, connecting with today's world, in tune with the world in which we live, an understanding of how circumstances affect people. A good listener, he encouraged people to take up new roles. In his ministry at the Vines, he always came across as one of us more than the minister. He preached unconditional love. His dad jokes gave many a chuckle, and he donated a coffee machine to the church because he enjoyed good, real coffee and shared it with others. And many people here will have their own special thoughts as we gather today. David, we will miss you greatly. You have stirred us to live out the way of Christ in the church and in the world. You have called us to journey with each other. You have shared the sacraments of baptism and of Holy Communion with us. You have walked with us in our grief and laughed with us in our joy as we have journeyed through the highs and lows of life, of church, and of the world. We thank you for the gifts, talents, and strengths which you have shared with us over the years of your ministry at the Vines. And I would just ask everybody to respond with, thanks be to God. Be to God. As Church Council, David, we will seek to remember your wise words, especially reminding us about the importance of the why when making decisions. We are thankful for your leadership and your words of encouragement, and we will always remember your time among us with joy and appreciation and love. And yet, a sense of real sadness as to how it concluded. We had many more plans, didn't we? But they weren't to be. May God continue to bless you every day, all of you, every day, in every possible way. And we will look forward to updates on your journey to full strength. And we would love to have you come back in full strength, full of all that that joy and that love, and yeah, just to see that again would be wonderful. I would like to invite Kay Bailey at this point to say a few words. She represents the presbytery. She will then invite the elders to come forward and lay hands on David as I share in prayer, as we share in prayer, really.
Thanks for that. And I'm on Generate PRC, and I have to say that David's probably been the most loved and prayed for pastor over the last year through Generate. We have followed your journey. You have been through the darkest times, and we will never know those dark times like you have, but we have wanted to journey with you. A few texts with Ellie every few weeks to see how you're going. So, David, we love you at Generate. You're much loved, probably the most prayed for pastor in Generate. We also recognise it's not been an easy time for the church here, as they, I think you've said it so well, you're going to miss David and his leadership here. And so, David, our prayer is that you would continue to heal. It's great to see you here today. And I'm going to ask the elders to come forward and pray. Now, is David going to stay seated, or do you think you can stand, or as the elders come forward to pray and lay hands on David?
Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you for DJP and for his ministry among us. You have graced us, and you have led us by your Holy Spirit to serve your people in this place, to build up your church, and to glorify your name. We have worked together for the sake of the gospel. Together we have studied your word. Together we have broken bread and given thanks. We are so grateful that you raise up faithful people who take seriously the call to ministry as David has done, who accept the responsibility of guiding and directing others to understand what it means to be your disciples through the power of your Holy Spirit. Healing God, at this time we understand that for David, that call has been put on hold for the present. We pray that in your time, he will be able to return to ministry. Meanwhile, we pray for your healing hand to continue to be upon him, restoring him physically, mentally, and emotionally to take up the task to which you will call him. And, O Lord, we pray a blessing on David and Ellie and their family. We ask that as they move through this season of waiting and discovery, you will grant them peace and patience as day by day they continue this difficult journey, always trusting that there is no pit so deep that you are not deeper yet. And with you, all things are possible. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
So what we're doing is returning the symbols of office, if you like. Look, I thank God for you all. I've had lots to do with you in different ways. In my time, I've tried to be faithful to God. I'm ready to love you as God loves me. And God loves me in a way that I don't deserve, but it's a wonderful thing to be able to just be accepting of each other. Through the challenging times and chaos of bushfires and COVID and the personal illnesses of those we know and love. So I return to the symbols that you've entrusted to me. I've tried to proclaim the word with integrity and relevance. And yes, sometimes I crack too many smiles and laughed a bit too much maybe for some, but for me it's life and hope. So David, I return this to you. one of the things with baptism, although we didn't do as many baptisms as I would have loved, I love infant baptisms. We did a couple of full immersions. The baptisms is a life-giving reminder of Christ's love that washes over us. And finally, the communion, we did a lot of. I love communion, and it's really just a sacred sign of God's presence with us. So,
Chloe and Sam, would you like to come and join me and just stand alongside me here, please? And I'll get you to do a bit in just a minute. So, David, as you've laid down these symbols of your ministry this morning, I'm going to give to you this candle as a symbol to take with you to accompany you on the ongoing journey. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said of you, said of all of us, you are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. And you, David, have been the light in this house. Indeed, you have been a light wherever you have been. So, David, receive this candle, and whenever you light it, take the words of Jesus spoken of himself as a prayer for you, as a prayer for your journey. Lord Jesus, you are the light of the world. Whoever follows you will not walk in darkness, but will have the light. It's going to be a prayer for us all. Pray together up on the screen. That's the one. Let's pray together. Life of the world.
Shall separate us from the love of Christ? No danger, no poor demon. Not the present or future, nor any powers. Neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation. Nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. Nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. That is in Christ Jesus. That is in Christ Jesus. That is in Christ Jesus. Nothing can separate.
Okay, we've got two more songs to sing. They're reasonably short. So would you like to stand, stretch your legs?
It's going to sound amazing.
Father, there's us as we go. Jesus, Lord.
today through your life. And now just coming to
have
say.
One last word. Have to have the last word.
Go for it.
I just want you to be aware that in the foyer there are three small paintings that pick up these two, and there is a prayer plant, a peace lily for you as a permanent reminder of us, and may you just experience all the peace that that lily is preparing for you. Bless you.
And enjoy the morning tea.